Okay. Go to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8 with me now. Title of this message, I hope it'll be just a very simple gospel message from Romans 7 and 8. Good news for sinners. Good news for sinner. It's no secret now that we don't watch the news. There is nothing new under the sun. Yes, today's news is as bad as it was yesterday, so we just don't watch it. But I've got some good news this morning. Very good news. The gospel means good news. And I hope this whole message will be good news. But it's only good news to sinners. Christ came into this world to save sinners. It's only good news to sinners. There's an old hymn where Joseph Hart wrote it. In that hymn, he said, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost had made him so. Meaning that the Holy Spirit, the first thing he does when we save someone is convict of sin. To convince of sin. That's what our Lord says. When he comes, he'll convince a people out of the whole world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it all has to do with Christ. So, conviction of sin. I have 7 points if you're taking notes. The conviction or confession of a sinner. The cry of a sinner. Salvation of a sinner. The groanings of a sinner, the hope of a sinner, the help of a sinner, and the assurance of a sinner. You got that? The confession or cry of a sinner. I just said to you that our Lord said when he comes, he'll convict of sin. He'll convince of sin. John said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of them. Very few people know or believe that they're sinners before God. Confession. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans 8 follows Romans 7. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul thought he was righteous. Paul thought he was moral. And he was, probably. Outward. Anyway. Very sincere, very zealous, okay? But he didn't know God. And salvation is not just morality. Well, Paul said in Romans 7, he said, verse 9, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and slew me. So the law is holy. Commandments just and good. He said in verse 14, the law is spiritual. I found out I'm just a sinner through and through. He thought he was righteous. He's like that rich young ruler. He thought, I'm moral, I've kept the Ten Commandments, but God, for his great love and mercy which he chose, Paul sent his word to convict him of his sin. That's what happened. This is what happens to every person whom the Lord saves. He convinces and convicts them of sin. Look at verse 15. He said, I found out that that which I do, I allow not, or that is what I do. I don't want to do it. But what I want to do, I don't do it. What I hate, what's that, Paul? Sin. That do I. And he went on to say, verse 17, it's just sin that dwelleth in me. Indwelling sin. Verse 18, I know in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is the first thing that God is going to show every sinner that he saves by grace. He's going to show them that you're nothing. You're worthless. You've sinned against God. You haven't kept God's law. broken his law, sinned against his goodness, sinned against his mercy, sinned against his grace, sinned against his son. You've rejected his son for your own whatever. He goes on to say in verse 19, the good that I would, I don't do. The evil which I would not, that's what I do. Is that you? And there's hope for you. There's hope for a sinner. Verse 21, he said, I find a law in me, this ruling principle in me, that when I would do good, evil's present with me. I wake up with it. I go to sleep with it. He didn't have this trouble before. Paul didn't have this trouble before. There was no struggle before. He thought he was good. He thought he was righteous. And he thought he was religious. He was religious. And he thought he was going to heaven. But God, it's the first thing God did, is convict him that you're a sinner through and through. There's no, in your flesh, no good thing. And God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God is angry with the wicked every day. And that's what you are. That's what God does to every sinner. The first thing. That's a confession of a sinner. Verse 24, here it is in one line. Oh, wretched man that I am. Some people, well, Southern Baptists say, Romans 7, Paul was writing that before he was saved. That's not what he said, did it? Isn't that what he said? Oh, wretched man that I was. That's not what he said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Can you say that? Who? Now here's his cry. Here's the cry of a sinner, the call of a sinner. You know, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul says, who shall deliver me from this body of death, from this sin? Who? I need deliverance. I can't deliver myself. I'm lost. I'm sinful through and through. I've got this body of death I can't get rid of. Who shall deliver me? Paul wasn't calling on the Lord before when he was in religion. He was just going through the motion, wasn't he? Though zealous, yet he wasn't calling for mercy. He wasn't calling for salvation. He thought he already was. But God, on that road to Damascus, remember? You remember his story? Paul told it everywhere he went. He said, suddenly Christ, the light, the day spring from on high, shined in my heart, shone around me, apprehended me. Christ came to me, Saul, Saul. He said, I fell in the dirt before him who I did not know. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. And he said the scripture says he was trembled. Paul trembled when he heard that this Jesus, whom he rejected and whom he thought he was going to do away with, was his Lord, and that he was in this Lord's hands to do with as he pleased. That his life, his breath was in the hands of this Jesus. Paul said, trembling and astonished. He said, I didn't know this person. And he was in the dust before him. And you know what the first words out of his mouth were? Lord. No man calleth him Lord. John, you were right. God's right. No man calleth him Lord but by the Spirit of God. And that's the first thing the Spirit of God will do, convict you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, all concerning Jesus Christ. That if he doesn't save you, you're not going to be saved. You can't save yourself. You can't live you've broken God's law on every hand. God deserves, you deserve for God to cast you out. And you hear who Jesus Christ is. Not, God loves you. Not Jesus wants to save you. He's Lord, and your life and your breath is in his hands. That's what Peter preached at Pentecost, wasn't it? And 3,000 men, along with probably that many women, and maybe some young people, surely, all were scared to death. Fear. What should we do? Fear. So he cried, Lord, what wilt thou? What will you do with me? What are you going to do with me? Lord. Well, here's the salvation of a sinner. That was his cry. He called, verse 24, oh, who shall deliver me? Verse 25. I thank God. I found out. Paul found out. I found out. You found out. It's through Jesus Christ. He's the deliverer, our Lord, that God hath made him Lord. He made him your Lord. So then, he said, I've got this law of sin in me, the flesh, but, oh, now the truth. Christ, the truth. Chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? Well, Paul kept saying this over and over and over again, didn't he? In Ephesians, Colossians, and on it goes. Oh, that I might. Philippians. He said, this one thing I want and need and desire more than anything else is to be found in him. And the best illustration I know of, and I keep using it, is that Ark of Noah. I never get tired of telling it. All right? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was warned of God and moved with fear. And God said, God didn't say, Noah, I love this world so much. No, he said, Noah, I'm angry with this world. I'm condemning this world. It's condemned. It's unrighteous. It's unholy. They've corrupted my way. There's no fear of God. They're full of violence. He said, it repenteth me. I've made man. I'm going to destroy it. Noah, build an ark. And here's the blueprints, the exact blueprint. Noah, build this ark full of rooms. And Noah, I'm going to save some alive. I'm going to save you, Noah. You found grace in my eyes. I've chosen you. I've revealed who I am, holy, righteous, judge. It revealed my purpose. I'm going to destroy, but I purpose to save some. And that salvation, Noah, is going to be in this ark, this ark. Whoever's in this ark, Noah, with you, you go round them up. All these clean animals and some unclean. You round them up and bring them into the ark. And bring your sons and their wives and bring them in the ark. And whoever's in this ark, Noah, I'm going to show mercy to. I'm going to show grace to. I'm going to save them. When my overflowing scourge of my wrath comes nigh and destroys everything in this world, there's not going to be one thing left in this world but that ark and everyone in it. Now, what is that ark? That ark is Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? You know how few people understand that? I do. Paul did. That's what he meant. I want to be found in Christ. You know, the only thing that mattered when God sent that flood and destroyed everything in the world, it didn't matter what you have, what you've done, what you accumulated, it's all gone. Is, are you in that ark? Or are you outside that ark? Everyone in that ark was saved. And they all reached the promised land. How'd they get there? The ark. And that ark took all the judgment and wrath of God upon the world. The wrath, the lightning, the thunder, the wrath, the judgment of God fell on that ark. Ark. It took it all. But not one drop of rain fell on Noah's head. Not one. Why? It had pitch all over it. It had pitch all over it. It was the ugliest ship you've ever seen. But Noah thought it was the most beautiful. That's a picture of Christ, that bloody sacrifice hanging on Calvary's tree. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. There'll not be one sin held God's people's account. Why? Jesus Christ paid it all. All the wrath, all the judgment. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Not one drop of rain fell on Noah. Look at verse, let's just go way ahead, okay, shall we? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not one charge will be brought to the account of God's people. Not one. Why? Because God charged Christ with it. Christ died. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Well, how do you get in Christ? You put yourself in there? Didn't those animals put themselves in that ark? Did they? No. How'd they get there? Noah brought them in there. Noah brought them. The Spirit of God moved them to follow Noah and go into that ark. Who's that? That's Christ. His name means rest. Noah. He's the one. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I've known of them. He said, I leave the 99, go after every one of them, singly, and put them on my shoulder and bring them all the way home. And they're in me. Let's say. Well, what does this mean? Look at the, here's the salvation of a sinner. Look at verse 3 and 4. What the law could not do is weak through the flesh, my flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's what the scripture says with it. He was made sin. And it's a mystery and we can't rightly understand it, but it's so in it, that God made him to be sin. Verse 4, that we might be righteous. In verse 4, the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. But wait a minute. I've broken every jot and tittle of the law. The law is spiritual, Paul said. It demands perfection in thought, in word, and as well as deed. But I'm guilty of all of it, of breaking it all. Christ wasn't. He lived according to that law, perfectly. And in God's mystery of mystery, but this is what happened. Christ came, the righteous and holy Son of God. And here I am, unrighteous and unholy and sinful through and through. And God laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all, God's people. All right? He made him to be me. And somehow or another, God made me to be him. And so God, I am holy, unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. Wait a minute, you're nothing but a sinner. I know that. But it's not me. It's Christ in me. I don't understand. That's the best I can do with that. I believe it. That's what the scripture said. Faith. The righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. Well, what does it mean to walk after the Spirit? It means the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of Christ. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And in John 14 through 16, our Lord spoke a great deal about him, didn't he? And he said, when he has come, he's going to convince of sin. That's the first thing he does, convicts us of sin. You're a sinner through and through. Number one, the reason is you don't trust, believe God. You don't believe Christ. You have no need for the Son of God. And he'll convict you of that. That's what convicted me. And I spent years in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that it was for me he died on Calvary. And the second thing, he'll convince you of righteousness. And you don't have one. You got to have one. The only way you're going to get to a righteous God who loves righteousness is by God making you righteous. How? I can't do it. Christ did. He's Jehovah Sidkine, the Lord your righteousness. And judgment. There's a judgment to face. There's a judgment to face. And even every idle word shall be held accountable What's my hope? Jesus Christ. He stands in the judgment for me. He's good. He did. He judged for me. That's the salvation of a sinner. It's found in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29 and 30. Don't you love these verses? For whom God did foreknow, he did predestinate. Predetermine their end to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called. The call of the gospel. Oh, we're bound to give thanks, aren't we, brethren, beloved of the Lord? God hath chosen us to salvation through sanctification of spirit, belief of the truth, whereunto he called us by the gospel of Christ. And whom he called, verse 30 says, he justified. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They've got to believe. Well, he gives that faith. He is repentant. We call on the Lord. Lord, save me or I perish. And what we find out is, that's why we're calling. He's already saved us. We just find out that Christ came to save us. And we called. And it says, whom he called, he justified. Freely, completely, from all things by which you cannot be justified by the law. Everything, completely. Every single charge, everything, single transgression blotted out completely under the blood. Justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Now all that sounds past tense, doesn't it? In God's purpose, it is. It's what? It's the purpose of God given us in Christ before the world began. Well, here's the groanings and struggle of a sinner. Look at verses 22 and 23. It says, we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You look around us. Remember me talking about those sparrows this morning. Every now and then you go out and find one lying there dead, you know. The whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain together, because verse 21 says, the creation was made subject to this thing called sin and vanity by reason of God, by God's purpose, the fall of man. But he is subjected to the same in hope, says the whole creation will be delivered from this corruption called sin. And the whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain together. It's like the whole earth groans. In verse 23, and here's what I'm asking you. Do you groan? We ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We've got this thing called sin that just ever before us and with us, and all the consequences of it. My. Creation, when sin came in this world, the fear of man came over. There was no fear of man in the garden. None. They all came up to Adam. Licked his hand. They all came up and paraded before Adam to see what he would name them. There was no fear. There's no sin. There's no fear of man. When sin came in, what happened? They're all going to die at the hands of man. Man became their chief predator. All right? And then sin, the consequences of sin, they began to eat and devour one another. That never happened before. And brethren, that's what happens in us when a new creature is formed. A new creature is formed in God's people. They have the fear of God. It wasn't there before. They now have the fear of God in them. And they hate and groan because of the consequences of sin. Are you with me? We didn't have that before. What's he talking about all the way through here? To be led by the Spirit of God, and for the Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct and walk according to Spirit, the Spirit of life in Christ. He takes the things of God and shows them to us, and they have a new heart, a new mind, a new desire, new will after these things. But they've got this old flesh that now they love the things of God that didn't before. They hate sin and this world, and even themselves. It's these two creatures dwelling in this one. And it groans. This new creature is grown. It's like a fish out of water. It's just like the Son of God who was down here in this place, and everything in it was repulsive to him. And that's this new creature. I want out. I want sin out of me, and I want out of this sinful place. And it wasn't there before. Do you groan? We all do, don't we? Every now and then, Mindy, I'll groan, won't I? And she'll say, what's wrong? I say, just sin. It's this world. Oh, I want out. I want it out of me. Is that you? Is that you? Well, here's the hope of a sinner. Here's the hope of a sinner. Look at verse 24. We're saved by hope. But hope that's seen is not hope. If a man seeth that he doesn't need to hope for, we hope for that we see not. What's that? It's a person. We've come to know a person. God. We've come to know a person. Christ. Okay? We've fallen in love with a person. We're his bride. And we're separated now from him. We want to be with him. We love him. We talk to him. We walk with him. This person, okay? Christ is our hope. We hope to be with him. Christ is our hope that we'll be with God. A hope, a sure hope within the veil. Christ, our hope. And we hope for him, like Hebrews 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Here's the difference between just a religious person and one who knows Christ. A religious person wants to go to heaven. A religious person wants to go to heaven, be with mama and be with sweet by and by and all of that. A person that knows Christ wants to go be with Christ. That's the difference. We hope, our hope is all in him. But he's unseen. He's with the Father now. He's right at the right hand of the majesty on high. But we have got a good hope, don't we? It's in him. So we, with patience, wait for. You notice the word it's in italic. Verse 25. We, with patience, wait for. And we're not waiting for it. We're not waiting for our ship to come in. We're in the ship. Christ. We're waiting for him to come get us. There he is, the bridegroom. Like those 10 virgins, remember? The difference would be, behold, the bridegroom cometh. 5 of them had oil. That's the Spirit of God. 5 of them were looking forward to being with him. Here he is, my beloved. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Glad to see you, Lord, my husband. The other 5, in darkness. Most people don't want this world to end. It's the hope of a sinner. It's in Christ. Point number 6. The help of a sinner. Look at verse 26. It says the Spirit helps our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searches the heart knows what's the mind of the Spirit. That's God. And he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Brother John Cheesley Sr. always prays. You ever notice he always prayed, not our will, Lord, but thy will. He sure doesn't believe in free will, does he? We don't want our will. All that has to happen to us for God to damn us is to leave us alone. And that's what God does to most people. Leaves them alone.
lets them have their will, okay?
But when he saves his people,
like Paul, Saul, what will you have me to do? Not my will, but thy will be. Lord, you who works all things at the counsel of your own will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me. Don't let me have my will. Don't leave me alone.
And so, we don't know what to ask for, do we? We want things. And we don't know if it's good for us or not. We want this, we want that, we'll go here, do that, that we just don't know. But God does. And you know what he does? He gives us what is according to his will. That's our help. Our help. Help. All right, here's our assurance. Look at verse 31 to the end. What shall we then say to these things? And on that point of we don't know what things to pray for, Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. But he said, to stay here for you, it's needful. So you know, so he says, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I don't know, but he does. So we just leave it there. No. Should I do this? Should I do that? Teach me thy will. All right? Here's the assurance of a sinner. Verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for it, who can be against us? Huh? Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Who's he talking to? He's talking to these believers, these sinners that believe Christ. And the Spirit of God revealed Christ to them, in them. He says, he that spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with Christ also freely give us all things? Huh? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, I'm afraid my sin's going to find me out. No, God laid on Christ your sins. It is God that justifies. Don't you love that story? That woman caught in the act of adultery and they brought her in and cast her at Christ's feet. How'd she get there at his feet? Christ had them bring her. Christ had the law, all those law fellas, bring her to Christ and cast her at his feet, the only one that could forgive her. And she's condemned by the law. There she sits at the feet of the lawgiver. And what does he say? Forgiven. Completely forgiven. Woman, and when it was all over, she looked around. He said, where are thine accusers? Does anybody here lay anything to your charge? She stood up incredulously, unbelievably. I don't see anybody here that's condemning me. Christ said, I don't. Justified. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. Yea, rather, verse 34, is risen again. All this is true because Christ lives. He's at the right hand of God. He also maketh intercession. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. Lay that not to his charge. The accuser of the brethren, Satan. Look, see, look. God says, I don't see a thing. I don't see one sin. Under the blood. Who shall separate us? Look at all of this in closing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, we love our own, don't we? We love them. We love our children, love our grandchildren, love our spouses, don't we? Something's going to separate it. Death. That's one of the reasons we don't look forward to dying, because of those we love. Right? That's the main reason. My believers don't want to leave, because there's somebody here we love. And it's going to be a sad day. I was talking to Jeanette the other day. Ed is in his 80s. John's in his 80s. Somebody's going to pass away real soon. Nancy, somebody in here. It might be me.
It's got to happen. It's going to temporarily separate us.
It's not going to separate us from Christ. It's going to join us.
Isn't that the tribulation? He sent it. It's not going to separate us. He sent it to cement this relationship. Distress? What does distress make you do? When you get in distress, what does it make you do? Run to Christ. Persecution? Persecution? The great adversary, what do you do? Run to Christ. Persecution. Famine? Oh, God's people are never in famine. We're eating fat things. Why? There's a famine going on right now. The hearing of the word, not us. We're eating Christ's body and drinking his blood. Nakedness? No, I'm not naked. I came into this world naked. Job said, naked I shall return. Go. Well, physically, yes, but not spiritually. We got a robe. We're wearing a robe. Christ right. Peril? Peril? Are we in peril? These are perilous times, all right. Perilous times. Brothers and sisters,
not a hair of your head fall. If God doesn't ordain.
Sword? Welcome it. As it is written, thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what sheep are for. For the shepherd. Yea, and all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, and you read in Hebrews 11 of, all those people that went through all those things, and the Lord gave them such peace and comfort, and they refused deliverance. They said, no, I'll gladly go to the stake. And it was over.
And there's no more they could do ever again.
More than conquerors. What is it that overcomes this world? What is it that overcomes fear? What is it that overcomes everything, the noisome pestilence?
Faith. You believe him. He's the only one that's not lying.
You hear me? He's the only one that's not lying. The only one you can trust. Him that loved us. Brothers and sisters. False religion tells me and God loves you. Do you know what it means for God to love you?
It means he will always love you. It means you're saved forever. He will never stop loving you.
It means that no one and nothing can hurt you in any way, shape, form, or fashion if he loves you. It's all going to be absolutely for your good. That's what it means for God to love you. So these things were him that loved us. Because he loves us, he sends these things to take the love of the world out of us, the love of sin out of us. Now read on. He said, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. What are you persuaded of, Paul? I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. He's able. That neither death, no, he's the one that sends it. Nor life, anything I go through in this life. Nor angels, that's any kind of spirit or false preachers. Nor principalities. No,
of course Christ is the head of them all.
Nor powers. There's not one thing has any power of itself. Christ said, all power is given unto me. Not a germ in this universe that Jesus Christ is not in absolute control of. Not a germ. Did you hear me? I didn't say that. He said. Powers. Now things present. Look at this present evil world. Isn't it awful?
It's still God's word.
It's going exactly according to his purpose. Exactly. It's not chaotic. He's reigning and ruling everything. Turneth it with you. Yeah. Things to come. What's coming? He is. With clouds. To get us and take us home. Whew. Height.
depth, any other creature. Oh, that we might know, Paul said, the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of the love of God that passeth understanding. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Where is it? In Christ Jesus alone. You know, there was a sign on, there was a bumper sticker on that ark. It said, smile, God loves you. But it wasn't on the outside. It's on the inside. It's on the inside. How do you know God, how do you go, God loves you? Are you in Christ? Do you believe Christ? Are you a sinner through and through? Do you hate your sin? Do you call on Him? Do you cry unto Him? Do you hope in Him? Is He all your hope of salvation? Smile. God loves you. Good news for sinners. Okay, John, you come lead us in a closing hymn.